Good morning and welcome to this hour of worship coming to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Today is the fourth Sunday of Easter. Pastor Paul Mill has chosen for his sermon topic, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep, based on John chapter 10, verse 11. Mr. Ron Baker is at the organ this morning, and your announcer is Ron Meyer.
Well, good morning. We welcome those who are worshiping with us in person and those who are listening to us on the radio. This is the fourth Sunday of Easter, often called Good Shepherd Sunday, as will become very obvious as we sing the hymns and go through the readings. Our first hymn will be hymn number 710. Please stand if you are able as we make our beginning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake he forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We join together with the introit for the day. I am the good shepherd. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. For the Lord is a great God. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. For he is our God. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I am the Good Shepherd. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, merciful Father, since you have awakened from death the shepherd of your sheep, grant us your Holy Spirit, that when we hear the voice of our shepherd, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated. Our first reading for the fourth Sunday of Easter is taken from Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 2. This is a gracious thing when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if, when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand as you are able for the Alleluia verse and the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated as we continue with hymn 506, 605, stanza 1.
Good morning. How is everybody today? Good. It looks like a few of you have been banged up this week, huh? Did you break something? Yeah? Oh, no. And are you okay? You look like you got stitches.
They glued it?
Oh, my goodness. You guys are brave. Girls, I have a question for you. Do you girls ever like to go shopping? Yeah. It's fun to get new things, right? It's fun to get new clothes, and it's fun to get new shoes. And you're so excited about them. And then you go to school, and does somebody ever have something cooler than what you do? Like a shirt that looks better, and you're like, oh, man, I wish I had that shirt, or I wish I had those shoes. You girls don't ever think that? No? Oh, man, I know I did. Sometimes I still do. Oh, man, I really like that shirt. I wish I had that. Boys, what about you? You probably don't like to go shopping. I know that answer. But it's baseball season, so maybe you need a new bat, or you needed a new glove, or you needed a new baseball bag. Yeah, or maybe when you got to the dugout, you're like, oh, man, that kid has a bat that's way cooler than mine. I wish I had that. Did you feel that way at all? No? Oh, man. Well, you guys are just kind of messing up my message this morning, but that's okay. Sometimes things happen, and you think that somebody has something way better than you do, and you wish you had that. And when that happens, that means that you're having trouble being content. Contentment is being thankful and satisfied with what you have. You might still want new clothes and a new bed or new video games, but if we're content, do we need those things to be happy? No, we don't. That's right. Instead, we should just be thankful for what God has given us. No matter if our best friend has a shirt that's way cooler than ours, we should still be thankful for the things we have, right? Yeah, even though it's hard sometimes. Well, God tells us in Hebrews to be happy with what you have. This is a wise way to live. When we choose to be content with what we have, then we free ourselves from envy and from selfishness, because we don't want to be selfish, do we? No, that's not a way to live. That's right. So sometimes it's hard, but we have to make choices to be content. And it seems like you guys are doing a good job of being content already. So continue to be a good job and make good choices of being content and being happy with what you have. And we should be what for what we have? Thankful for what you have. You got it. Good job. Will you guys fold your hands and pray with me? Dear God, help us to be content and thankful for what we have. Amen.
As they make their way back after getting all the candy that they need, we will be singing hymn 711.
Thank you.
Courtney, I was talking with our acolyte earlier, and he was jealous that I had one of these, and he says, how come I don't have one of these? And I said, well, you got to become a pastor. And now he's thinking about it, I think. Actually, I think he wants a fishing pole. All right. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is part of our introit and also the next verse after our gospel lesson from John 10. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. This is our text. Some time ago, we sent out a satisfaction survey at our school, or unsatisfaction survey, as the case might be. Depends on how they were satisfied or not satisfied, I suppose. Anyway, we want to know what people think, and we really do. What is good, and what are we doing that is not good? And we're finding a lot of companies are doing this, and you get those things in the email all the time right after you bought something. How was your experience? And you go online and fill out those forms, or don't, because there's a lot of them, and it, after a while, it gets old. But there's the rub. What is good? And what is bad? And is it the same for everybody? Stop it. We might ask the question about, in our surveys, what about lunch? Did you like the salad bar? And our Asians say there's not enough eggs on the salad bar. We used to have a lot of eggs, and then they got expensive, and then we don't. That's the way it goes. And then there's larger questions that people everywhere ask. And I suppose it depends on whether you want to start a conversation or not. How was the weather? Is the weather good? Is it bad? And again, it depends on people, what they're expecting. And maybe the real question is, in the big scheme of things, do these things really matter? And what can you do about it anyway? But then again, there is more to this business of good and bad than just our opinion or discriminating taste for this or that particular thing. I think every one of us understands the concept of good and bad, but is it more than just that? Is it more than just what we think? Our text today says Jesus is the good shepherd. What does this mean? Are there bad shepherds? A bit further down in the passage, it talks about not only those who are not shepherds, but even wolves and those who steal and destroy and do things that are obviously bad. But does it matter to you? The concept of a shepherd and sheep is probably lost on most of us who have never been around a lot of sheep. Maybe at a petting zoo. The closest I've ever gotten to a sheep is a wool scarf. So I can read about sheep and stuff, but it appears that they're not always that intelligent. They are, unless they've been faking it for thousands of years. I wonder if I can do that more. The point is, they make a lot of bad decisions. Can sheep make bad decisions? I guess they do. Animals that make bad decisions, they're sheep. So without a shepherd or a fence or they would whatever, they would head off into who knows where and come out in a bad end. In a pinch, the owner could hire someone to watch out for the flock, but at what cost? The difference between a good shepherd and a hired hand, then, is that a hired guy really doesn't care that much about the sheep. Sometimes I go into a restaurant and I'll ask the server a question like, well, what do you suggest? And sometimes I get, oh, I don't eat here. The food's not that good. And I'm thinking, how was the onboarding process that this person got a job and the orientation that the manager actually had with this individual? And does he know that this is what they're saying? Because a lot of times a hired hand is just there for the paycheck.
And while there might be some modicum of responsibility, when push comes to shove, he or she is out of there. And there's probably a lot of people like that. And they like the benefits of responsibility, the power, the prestige, the paycheck, but it's all ephemeral. It's all passing. So that's the picture we're given. There's good and there's bad, and we're supposed to know the difference. Years ago, our school resource officer told us that there's an odd thing going on, probably closer to us than what we would like to think. We'll call them social gatherings, or shall we say, of underage people. Social gatherings, you see. They not only imbibe on beverages that they know are illegal, but they're doing it with cocaine. And I'm thinking to myself, what are you thinking? What goes through the thought process, or maybe non-thought process, as the case might be? What is it that convinces them that this is a good idea? Do they think maybe it's better because it keeps them alert and it sort of balances out the effects of alcohol? Do they think it's better because it's not fentanyl, at least? Covers all the bases, right? What could go wrong? You see, someone apparently told them this was a good idea, and they listened to them. Others of us would say, this is not a good idea, this is a bad idea. And now here we have a problem. Who are you going to believe? We sometimes refer to these things as world views. There are people whose worldview is entirely inwardly focused on themselves. Actually, that would be any of us and all of us at any one time or another. In other words, we want to do what we want to do. And in our minds, that is good. And of course, we want to be true to ourselves. I've heard that so many times. Oh, I've got to be true to myself. I've got to do what I want to do. Is that a good idea? We especially like it when other people agree with us. Those are the people we want to listen to and accept direction and encouragement from. But is that always good? And how do you know? You see, people struggle with these concepts more than we'd like to think. There are plenty of hired hands out there, you see. People who like to tell you what to wear, what you should listen to, what's fun and not fun. They may even tell you they're concerned about your safety and well-being. And to a point, they maybe are. But when it comes to the tough questions that are dividing our culture, they often run, or worse, join the wolves to steal and destroy. The thing is, every one of us has a conscience, which is to say that we have ingrained in us that knowledge of difference between good and bad, that there is a difference between good and evil. And maybe not everyone's conscience is working at peak performance. There are glitches in the matrix. But this should be a clue that there is something else out there driving this idea of good. It also includes truth, eternity, perfection, and even love. Because the truth is, the Good Shepherd truly loves you. And we even know how much he loves you. He lays down his life for the sheep. Of course, Jesus was saying these things before he actually did them. So the disciples at the time were probably thinking or imagining that he was speaking metaphorically. Nobody would really lay down his life for others, would they? Certainly not for everyone. Certainly not for your enemies. But that's exactly what Jesus does. You see, our ideas of good are so out of whack that for a lot of folks it's too far out there. And maybe we don't even want that kind of shepherd because he does tend to rein us in. There are those Ten Commandments, those rules and regulations telling us what's right and wrong. The right and wrong of the divine creator doesn't always match up with my ideas of good and bad and right and wrong. So it's easy just simply to ignore them. And then ultimately, if that's what good is, I look at my life and I see I don't want to love like that. I don't want to lay down my life for anyone, much less everyone. It's easy to go back into our default mode. We end up looking for what's good enough. for me. Until we discover that good enough is not good enough. I don't know if everyone here has come to that point in their life, but if not, it will. Hopefully sooner than later, something that will challenge your worldview. Something that reminds us that we are lost until we are connected back into our Creator. Some have said that you can't really know how bad we really are until we've tried our hardest to actually be good. That's probably when faith becomes real. And faith reminds us that the whole point of Jesus laying down his life for me is precisely because I cannot be good. And yet the whole point of laying down his life is so that our lives can be exchanged. Not just changed, but exchanged. His good becomes our good, and our bad is placed on him. And how is that helpful? Well, for one thing, you don't have to guess anymore what is good or bad. But even if you consider yourself to be pretty good, you know, or at least you should know by now, that pretty good really isn't good at all. So the Good Shepherd lays down his life for you. And in the process, you get forgiveness, you get a life, you get purpose and a roadmap that doesn't flop around, aimlessly wasting your years and your talents. And what else does that mean for you? That means that your work becomes God's work, and God's work becomes your own. Your life will say something about your relation to Jesus. Sometimes you can even use your lips and words, but most of the time it's your life that is exhibited to everyone what it says about your relationship to Jesus. And probably sooner or later, it will irritate the world because it's a different point of view than the world is embracing. Peter quotes Isaiah when he says of Jesus, "The stone the builders rejected has become the very capstone, the stone of a stumbling rock, of offense to this doomed world." Either way, there's going to be a reaction to the person of Jesus Christ. To those who are being saved, Paul writes, he is the sweet-smelling aroma. But to this condemned world, it is the smell of death. And if you think about it, it's the smell of their own death. And the terror of their own demise. You see, that's a bad worldview that we do not have to embrace. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So what a blessing it is to have been given the opportunity to keep in close contact with the Good Shepherd, the Shepherd who makes us a nation of priests wherever you might be. We have the privilege of coming to God in prayer. We can even pray for our enemies. We can pray for ourselves. Mostly we can even pray for each other, for faith and wisdom and dedication to build up God's kingdom. Here in the end of things, perhaps the Christian will once again stick out like a sore thumb. Most people don't like that. But sometimes it's necessary. This is not a bad thing for those whom God has called to witness their faith to a dying world. It's not a bad thing to get up every day this week paying attention to what God has in store for you. Because you have a good shepherd as the overseer of your soul. And what can the devil or the world do about that? Absolutely nothing if you don't let it. The disciples soon came to realize that Jesus wasn't just talking. He wasn't messing around. Because when God loves you, he means it. He wants everything good for you, even if you always don't want it yourself. So you can have a good day or a bad one. There's usually tomorrow. The salad bar might be missing those hard-boiled eggs that you like, but your life could still be good because your shepherd is really good. And his good becomes you good, your good. You good? Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Let us rise if you are able for prayer. Almighty God, we give thanks for all your goodness and bless you for the love that sustains us from day to day. We praise you for the gift of your Son, the shepherd of your sheep. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit, the comforter, for your holy church, for the means of grace, for the lives of all faithful and just people, and for the hope of the life to come. Help us to treasure in our hearts all that you have done for us, and enable us to show our thankfulness in lives that are wholly given to your service. Lord, in your mercy. Grant your wisdom and heavenly grace to all pastors, especially to Pastor Neville, who has been our vacancy pastor these past few months, for Pastor Engwall, who is our pastor-elect. We'd ask you that you would make them perfect in love and in all good works, establishing in them the faith once delivered to the saints. Lord, in your mercy. Preserve our nation in justice and honor, that we may lead a peaceable life with integrity. Grant health and favor to all who bear office in our land, especially the President and Congress of the United States, the Governor and Legislature of this state, and to all those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Help them to serve this people according to your holy will. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we ask you today to bless the schools of the church, especially St. Paul Lutheran High School in Concordia, Missouri, the Concordia University System, and the colleges and seminaries of our synod. Grant your wisdom in such measure that people may serve you honorably in church and state, and that our common life may be conformed to the ways of your truth. Lord, in your mercy. By your word and Holy Spirit, comfort all who are in sorrow, in need, sickness, or in adversity, especially for Ron Baker, who has just undergone some eye surgery, for Roy Hemme, who is having a pacemaker replaced, for Evelyn Kincaid, Nolan Kirby, Lindsay Shockley, and Ryan Sims, and all those who we name in our hearts. Be with those who suffer persecution for the faith. Have mercy on those who death draws near. Bring consolation to those in sorrow, and grant to all a measure of your love, taking them all into your tender care. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
You may be seated for the confession of our tithes and offerings. Rise as you are able as we continue with the offertory.
having said the Lord's Prayer, we continue with the Benedictus and Benediction. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
You may be seated for our final hymn, 740.